You are listening to the
Pinckney Talk Radio.
I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I am so happy to be able to go on. We was having technical problems, me trying to get onto the show. I tell you one thing, I am happy today just to be able to continue this show. I'm going to call in, I'm going to take you right now unto my good friend Ralph Porner. Ralph Porner, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, waiting anxiously for the program to begin, wondering whether you were traveling,
I tell you one thing, Ralph, we was having all kind of difficulties here. I'm here in Columbus, Ohio, and the problem was mounting as the show got ready to start. But I tell you, I'm here today that we're ready to roll, and I'm going to bring on my good friend from Mississippi, the young lady who we need to talk about, but I'm going to start with you today.
Well, thank you so much. And as I had said last week, after getting hit in the mouth with a piece of wood that I was splitting from the North Country, and I apologize to all of your listeners that it played havoc with my teeth there for a while. But it's important that your program gets information out to people. One of the things I would like to talk about today for a few minutes is that how, when things happen, we are not to be considered as people. Now, there seems to be a new program or drama that I haven't seen called Homeland. And what it is about is what happens to prisoners in jail, particularly political prisoners. I think it's talking about Palestine and Israel. And we know that they're political prisoners, and it talks about what is the effect on people being in prison. And the reason why I found that most interesting is here we are in the country that has more people in prison than any other industrial countries, all the industrial countries put together, and most of these people are people of color, and yet there is no program to talk about what happens to these people mentally, what prison does to you. And then you add on to that the states that are resisting using the new technology, DNA, to prove people innocent, the Innocence Project by people, and we find all of these people who have spent long years in jail, they were innocent. And yet we have no discussion about the prison system itself and what the prison system does to people. Not until it happens to certain people, then it becomes an issue. And I'm thinking about unemployment issue. Here we are in the community of color with unemployment running 50%. And several years ago, 2008, when the economic crash came, there was this whole question of what happens to people getting out of college, expecting to go to work, and they go to work, and the psychological effect it has on people. And yet, you know, nothing on the people who are most unemployed. And so, and when I look, I was speaking before a group of socialists and communists, and I'm saying, you know, this is a correct philosophy, even to the degree that we recognize we must take care of all of the people. We can't have a system with a few people with everything and a lot of people with nothing. And so, therefore, that much. Affordable Care Act, it doesn't solve the problem we wanted. We wanted total medical care.
Absolutely.
And did we get it? No. The insurance companies wrote a program that keeps them in, and even those who are very rich don't want that much out there. And the one group of people that the Affordable Care Act helps is, well, two groups. The first group is those people who were denied care based on previous illnesses. They lost out. They gained. But everybody else lost out except those who are on Medicare now, 65 and up. And so we have a situation where even that little bit is being opposed by a group. And so therefore we say to ourselves, what's going on here? They pit one group against the other group. Well, I don't want affordable care for this group because they lose and I gain. And then we put it back over to history of this separation. They lose and I gain. And they have played that game for years and years. They play the game for I'm losing my trend of thought here. They play the game based on we all have differences, and we forget that we all have samenesses. We are all in the same boat. They split us up. Who has care? Nobody has care. Who has benefits? Nobody has benefits. And I don't want to start giving facts and figures. We talk about what was the society like before 2008 and then after 2008. And I will go to after 2008. The average family of four of people of color, that is black people, is worth $5,000 or $6,000. And the average family of four of Latino is worth $5,000. The average family of white people, and there white people are at a disadvantage when you say average family because they average in the billionaires. But their average has dropped tremendously. And so one of the things that you promote and we must understand is even though we have all of those differences that are promoted, the differences are promoted by the society, by those in charge of the society. The differences of imprisonment, what happens to people who are prisoners. We talk about white people who are prisoners, but we don't talk about black people who have come out of prison. We don't talk about the families of black people in prison. And we are the most offended by this situation. And this goes on through every part of our lives. And then some young people recently came up with the concept, the 99%. And that puts us all together. We are all in the 99 percentile. We have less, and it's shrinking every day, and the policies of the government make it worse every day. And they keep pushing policies of separation. And on your program, when you listen, we all have to do it together, and we have to be careful when we say we all have to do it together. Those of us who have a unity of purpose, I don't care about your color, your religion, your race, your ethnic background. No, what is your purpose? And when we have a unity of purpose, then we must stick together. And all of those people who are looking to make it better, better for all of us, must stick together. And I love Mary Neal at the end of the program when she says, send your money to people who support you. Forget your preacher. He's not supporting you. Forget your politician. He's not supporting you, he or she. Remember the people who are supporting you. Remember Reverend Pinckney. And I say, remember Lynn Stewart. This is December. And this thing of, well, what happens to people in prison? Well, Lynn Stewart's in prison. We hope to see Lynn Stewart out, and we would like to redouble our efforts for bring Lynn home in December for Christmas. December 1st, we must begin again, sending literatures, making phone calls, take a day and make three phone calls. We have the numbers, and I'm not going to bother you with the numbers now. Look up lynnstewart.org, and you will get all of the numbers for Holder, Obama, and Samuels, you know, of the Bureau of Prisons. Make those phone calls. Sign up on the petition to free Lynn Stewart. And so, Reverend Pinckney, in this holiday season that's coming up, I must plead with people, don't make it an economic season. Make it a season of forcing the government to do for you what they promised to do, forcing the government to give up their lives or staying away from the lie, rejecting the lie. And one of the biggest lies in America is when I say they lie about everything, they say democracy in America. And I say, wait a minute. All we have to do is go to Haiti, where we see Aristide got 74% of the vote, and the U.S. military took him out of there with bayonets. Why did they take him out of there with bayonets? Because he refuses to accept IMF money to fix up the infrastructure of Haiti using workers from Spain. And he says, wait a minute, we got workers in Haiti. We're not going to borrow money, and I'm not going to sign to put the country deeper in debt, the country that is paying the United States and France all of these years for defeating the imperialist country of France in a war of liberation. They have been paying since that day. What is that but slavery? We look at Iran when they talk about sincerity. Iran had a government that they voted, a democratic government. The Americas overthrew him and then put in the Shah of Iran, and they ran that for the American oil companies. In Egypt, they had a democratic election. The United States came in, supported the military. They threw out the guy democratically elected, sent the dictator who had been convicted under the people home. South Africa, you know, we think of America. And whose side were they on when Nelson Mandela was in jail? South Africa, the apartheid South Africa, Israel, and the United States kept Nelson Mandela in jail for 29 years. And then they talk about sincerity and democracy. And so if there's one thing you can believe, don't believe any of those other programs. Believe what you hear on Reverend Pinckney, because when they tell it, it's just a lie. When you believe it, it becomes imperialism of a type, metaphysical imperialism. That means you have been brainwashed to believe it. Don't believe it. I know you're getting away from believing the government that you're even here on the program listening. Listen very closely to Reverend Pinckney, and you will hear something every week about what really is going on. And I'd like to continue, but I thank Reverend Pinckney for giving me these moments on this his program to talk to you about things that you should think about. Look up and see, why is this? Why is this? And we must recognize that we are a part of the 99%. And they are continuing to tell more lies. And those of you who love Mr. Obama, I just have to tell you, all you have to do is look at some report, like the Black Agenda report, Glenn Ford, he lists all of the problems. Mr. Obama has been the enemy. He always was the enemy. He is the enemy. And he uses his position to organize the colonial imperialist powers called the UN, the European Union, to continue to attack all of the third world countries. And these guys are so bad, they're attacking each other. They're spying on everybody, spying on the German premier, spying on the Mexican premier, spying on the Brazilian premier, so much so that they refuse to meet with the Americans because they understand that the American so-called democracy has never been anything more than organized robbery come in contact with. So listen to Reverend Pinckney's program. Call in. Learn about the facts. Support the people that he puts out there for us to support, people who are acting, people who are doing, people who have learned and act in concert. And let me give you one final word. They say Lynn Stewart is in jail because she passed on secrets to a terrorist organization, secret messages. And you have people who get on the camera and say, Lynn Stewart should be dead because she passed secret messages on. And now we have Mr. Snowden, who tells us what we always suspected. The government has every communication you ever sent. And I asked the government, produce one secret message. There are no secret messages, just another government lie of the so many lies that they tell over and over again to keep us separate. Black people are inferior, they tell us. Many people bought it. and then Jackie Robinson and Joe Lewis and all of the other people, and Benjamin Banneker, and but they didn't talk about that. We had to talk about that and say, no, we are not inferior. And the lies go on and on. Listen in to Reverend Pinckney and get clarity on these lies one at a time. Today's lie and the exposure of today's lie. And maybe I'll continue if Reverend Pinckney has me, as every week I will come on with a new exposure of a lie by the American government. And so we have to correct those lies. We have to rectify them. And it's easy for me to come on and talk about Reverend Pinckney, but Reverend Pinckney must be supported. How did this program get supported? Mary Neal will tell you in the end. Where you send your money, you want to tithe? This is something to tithe for. Tithe for the truth. The truth with Reverend Pinckney. Every week he is there. We must be there with him. And we must be there with and for people he has on the program. So thank you again. And I am long-winded. I could talk to you till midnight about the things. But I'm going to shut it down and ask Reverend Pinckney to say thank you. Take it from there. Let's make this a Merry Christmas for Lynn Stewart and all political prisoners. Make it a Merry Christmas for us by demanding that the government release her. Thank you again.
Absolutely. And Ralph, and I will be there on Tuesday. And also Wednesday, I'll be
no,
at
the No, you
got
to tell
Christmas
me what time
Center.
And what airport to pick you up at. Because you still haven't
I already sent it. I sent it to Betty last
Sunday.
Okay. And,
okay, we will be
look,
there at the airport to pick you up.
Okay.
Point in time.
Also, but I want to make sure you get an email out to the people around there to let them know that I'm going to be at the Brooklyn
yes,
Christmas
we have,
Center.
Yes, we have programs for you to speak at.
Okay.
That's why we
okay.
want to know. Make sure that we haven't planned a program and you're not going to be there. Thank
yeah,
you
well,
so much.
All right, then. I've sent everything to Betty. She knows everything, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend.
All right. Now we're going to bring on a young lady and her attorney. Last week we talked about the baby who was castrated. And I tell you this is one of the most shocking things I have ever heard. I have spent time trying to understand this situation. I cannot believe, my mind cannot compute this. I cannot understand how anybody could be so cruel to a baby. You know, they are kinder to animals than they are to human beings, especially black human beings. And the suffering of this baby, my concern is this. We need the people out there who are willing to take a stand to send dollars. Right now she's in need of money. Her attorney is going to take the case, but what we want to do, we want to make sure they have sufficient funds to fight this battle. So those of you who are out there, I want you to listen to her, and I want those who are out there to get a pencil and a pen. And I want you to write down the address where she's located, and maybe you can send her a few dollars. She needs money right now. She lost her job because of this, and that's how they do black Americans. You know, they make you suffer on all ends when you stand up to this government, when you stand up to these people. They do all this. Listen, let's bring on the mother from Reverend Pinckney, are you there? Hello?
Hello? This is
yes.
Attorney Dennis Week.
Oh, well, how you doing? Great. That's excellent. I'm trying to get people to understand how important this is that they help her financially. But listen, maybe you can tell us the story again so those who didn't hear it last week can hear it this week, and maybe they can get some dollars. Please take your time and give them that address as slow as possible, because I'm going to send some money myself. I know that for a fact. I'm going to send some money. I'm going to get that in the mail for you. But I want to make sure that people out there send money also. So please, attorney, take your time and tell the people exactly what they need to know.
Okay. Let me say first, Dr. Short has been instrumental in helping us get a story out. She was able to last night late go on another show to tell her story, and today, because of her family situation, she just could not make it. And she asked me to please speak for her. She had planned to be here, but she just could not do it. And she asked me to speak for her. So, you know, she's told you her story. She's told Dr. Shore. She's told her story. And her story involves her with a struggle every day. And that includes today. And she's a young lady who is from Mississippi. She moved to Memphis, Tennessee. She was employed. She left a job to go up there because she got a higher paying job. She had baby Ashton, and at 3 months old, they said, you know, you should have him circumcised. So being a responsible young lady, she took him to the community health clinic, the Christian community health clinic on Broad Street in Memphis, to have him circumcised. They told her it was an outpatient procedure. It would be about 20 minutes. And after 3 hours and hearing her baby scream and her knocking on the door, they brought her baby out, wrapped up, bandaged up, and told them, don't take the bandages off for 4 or 5 days. And he was all right. So she went home, and her sister was with her. She had some strong family support. They're all working people. They don't have a lot of money. And her sister noticed the baby screaming, some blood through the Pampers, and she said, look, we need to looked through this bandage. She said, no, they said, not 4 or 5 days. She looked at it anyway, and after she looked at it, her sister said, his penis is gone. She came in, and his penis was gone. It had been removed. And she immediately took him to Lovano Hospital in Memphis. And then she confronted the people the next day concerning this little simple outpatient procedure that was supposed to be removing the skin from around the tip of his penis, you know, circumcised. And she recorded the conversation, and that's the circumstance she found herself in. Now, she was working, I think she was making $24 an hour, and she had taken a new job. Her first job, she missed several times. They terminated her because of her missing. She went and got a new job. She was on probation, and baby Ashton set up an infection. And, you know, they told her she couldn't leave for any reason on her probationary period. She said there was no choice. You know, it was her child, so she left. And she was terminated from that job. So she took him to the Lovano Hospital. She didn't feel that they did proper work. She felt it was more serious than some little cold or whatever. She took him to another hospital. She went home to Mississippi, where she's from. They determined he did set up an infection. And so she just was spending her time taking care of him. And she had another child who was born with a birth defect with heart, who was scheduled for an operation, and she had to deal with that too. So you have a young lady who's been employed all her life, but she, in her child's case, she went in for a circumcision and his penis was removed. So that's the story. That's what happened to her. And she's been struggling financially. The legal part of it we'll take care of. But, you know, all she is right now is, you know, it's tight times for everybody. Her family has been supportive, but it's hard to support her and her kids, something she had always done, and her father. The latest father has not been as supportive of baby Ashton, but the other father has been. That's her story.
Wow, that's an amazing story. You know, every time I think about it, and I've been telling people and all the different shows I have been on, I have situation, and I tell you, it just makes me kind of just on the inside, you know, just me being a man, just thinking about, you know, being castrated, you know, that is, I mean, you know, baby Ashton, now he doesn't really understand the effects himself, but I know his mother do.
Well,
so
you know,
I see.
we have to deal right now on the legal part of trying to provide for him, what will be available for him in the future, and how he will pay for it. You know, he's going to need counseling, anything he can do as far as reconstruction. He's going to need money available for all that. He doesn't need to be out begging, trying to get, you know, I'm sure nothing will make it all right. But the legal part, which I'll deal with, we'll be trying to get monies for the future for him. The problems they have are not what's right, but right now. They got
absolutely.
I mean, you know, what they say, right now. And
right.
That's her problem.
And that's what I'm trying to target right now myself. Like I said, I have been on other shows talking about this all across the country. And I also have a tremendous following. And I'm, you know, each time I talk, I try to make sure I have the information correct, that where the money should be sent. And if you can just take your time and just repeat that as slow as possible, because even last week some of the people informed me that they didn't get it. And I gave them what I had, the correct mailing address. But I want it coming from you. And if you can do that for me, take your time and tell them. And if you have to spell it, I'll spell it out to them, because, you know, everybody on the show don't spell as well as you and I do.
All right. Well, let me say this to you. This is a little unusual situation for me because I'm a lawyer. I'm dealing with the legal claim. And she has asked me to, as she did today, she said to tell you all she just couldn't do it today. She had so much on her. So I'm trying to handle that for her. And so what I've done is I've set up a special bank account for her. And the money that will go to help her and baby Ashton. Understand, when she lost her job, she lost any health insurance, anything that she has available for her and her children. So she's having to, when she goes to the hospital, she's having to incur bills. She has to eat every day. She has to feed those kids every day. The other day, I just want to say, we had to come up and raise some money. So, you know, of course she has to have a vehicle. She was behind on a car note because she lost a job. And we helped raise some money to get her. So she has to have a vehicle to go back and forth with these children. So what I've done is my receptionist at my office, Yolanda, knows that anybody who calls about baby Ashton to take the number, to take the name, is very important to us. This is at the top of our list in my law office. And so if you call my office, 601-965-8700, she'll be able to give you any email, PayPal information, any of that type of information. Her name is Yolanda, and my number again is 601-965-8700. Now, if you want to mail any proceeds, mail them to Baby Ashton, and you can mail them to 158 East, just put E period, East Pascagoula. It's an Indian name. Pascagoula Street, Jackson, Mississippi, 39201. Let me say it again. 158 East Pascagoula Street, Jackson, Mississippi, 39201. Any money you send will go to Baby Ashton and to Miss Rose. They need your help. It's temporary. She has to get this stabilized. And the reason she had to leave her job, because her family did help. You know, her sister came, aunt came, but she left because he set up an infection. And she said, you know, she had a job of going to see about him immediately and taking him to the hospital or staying on a job, which was, she said, was not a choice to her. She left and took care of her child. But the consequences are her job let her go. And so right now she's unemployed, and he had another infection the other night. So she's trying to get all that straight before she tries to go get another employment. And so if you can help her in any way, every dime you go, you send, if you send, whatever you send will go to the use of Baby Ashton's care. They need it. Believe me, she needs it. Her family is with her, but they're all, you know, Mississippi working people. Some of them aren't working. You know, some of them can just come help, stay for a minute. But we'd appreciate your help. Another thing is, if you want to get a view of her or see her story, channel, I believe, 13 and channel 5 in Memphis interviewed her, and they played her story. So it should be on their webpage where you can look at it. And that's channel 13 and channel 5. Both ran stories on her situation. I hope that gives you all the information you need.
Absolutely. Can you repeat your office number again?
Okay, it's 601-965-8700. Mm-hmm. And the young lady's name who will answer is Yolanda. And
okay.
she will know to pay your call special attention. She will try and direct you where you need to go and give you the information you need to help baby Ashton and Miss Rose, Maggie Rose, out. And,
wow.
And believe me, they will appreciate anything that you can do. It's going to be temporary. Maggie's been employed, and she's getting herself together, back on her feet. But, you know, you can understand what she's facing. You know, she said at one point she felt she let her son down. So she's dealing with the emotional stress. She's dealing with the financial stress. And then she's dealing with how she's going to help her son. So she has that young lady has a lot on her right now, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, and one of the things that this is a story that needs to be put out there so people can understand how important it is that we be careful of what we're doing, because we got to watch these people. You know, we have a hospital in Benton Harbor. I'm in Columbus, Ohio today, but in Benton Harbor, Michigan, where we live, we have a hospital that don't care nothing, really, about black folks. They, matter of fact, you go in there, people go in there on colds and die. I mean, and nobody ever talk about it. And then everybody acts like it's all right.
I think if you go around the country, if you would just go, not adults, I think if you just go around the country and ask attorneys or other people to send in documented evidence of what's going on to kids in our communities, you will be appalled. And, you know, the one thing that folks like you can do, and you're doing, not you can do, you're doing, is you're highlighting the level of poor health care that's being given to children and people in our community. I mean, you know, what do you have to say? A kid goes in for a circumcision and his penis is removed. The good thing about this, the only good thing I can say is maybe you can highlight this and awaken our communities for the type of health care that's been given in our communities. Maybe baby Ashton's and Maggie's suffering will make people wake up and see that these kids, working people in the African-American communities, in the poor communities, the level of health care that they're receiving and told we should be glad to accept.
Mm.
And so, you know, I hate to say anything good can come from it. You know, I understand that.
Yeah.
But maybe you, Dr. Short, Brother Leroy, Ron, Dick Gregory, all you people who have come to her assistance can continue to make the point from this atrocity that we don't need our kids and our communities to be subject to this type of health care.
I tell you, this is you really saying something. Usually for the last week I've been speaking and just telling the world about this, and so they can understand how important it is that, you know, that sometimes, you know, people, we just have to take a stand. And I think this is an opportunity that may wake up some people to make them want to take a stand. I tell you, I'm going to go beyond the call of duty to do whatever I need to do to make sure that justice comes. And you can count on me. If you talk to Dr. Short, I know he will tell you that you can count on me, because I'm going to be in New York next week, and everywhere I speak, I will be speaking about baby Ashton. And I'm going to make sure I have all the information I need, and I'm going to make sure that somebody around here open the eyes up of the people more than anything else.
Well, I want to thank Brother Ron, for first of all, he picked it up. You know, I don't have a publicist. I can't put things out. He picked it up and contacted. And I want to thank Dr. Short. He is championing this. He is. He has made sure. Dr. Short has said, I'm going to make sure that this told because people need to know it and people need to see what our kids are being subjected to. So, you know, I can thank, I told you everybody else and you and your program, but somebody has to start highlighting the treatment that we're getting and our kids are getting in these clinics and other things. And the laws that are being passed to protect malpractice and castrating kids, I mean, you know, they shouldn't even need a lawyer. The government should come in and lock somebody up and compensate these people. Why do they need a lawyer? This is obvious.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know,
but
and,
that's what we are
in our society. But also, I not only, you know, I'm thinking about her, but there should be a penalty for this doctor, too, other than a lawsuit. I just don't see her continue practicing knowing. See, here's the part that got me. When she didn't tell the mother.
Oh, that's outrageous.
I mean, my man cannot compute
I
that.
I told her everything was
fine
and her baby said it was okay and he was all right. Everything went well.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk about things on this level, it changes the whole flavor. She just wrapped the baby up and take the baby home and don't look at the wrapping for 3 days.
Can you imagine what would happen if she showed up at some hospital for 4 or 5 days and said, what do you mean this happened then? Why didn't you do it sooner? Yeah.
Absolutely.
They checked it right away.
Yeah.
And she went right to the bottom. Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, I really, really appreciate you. I tell you, just taking the time out and coming on. But, you know, we're going to do everything in our power. I tell you, within the next 2-3 weeks, it's going to be heard all across this country. I can guarantee that.
Well, we appreciate your efforts very, very much. We appreciate you putting it on your program. Thank you.
Hey, well, as far as I'm concerned, it is a done deal. And we will talk to you soon, but I got to move on now. If you want a last word, go right ahead.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who shed a light on this. And you all issue a prayer for baby Ashton. Issue a prayer for Maggie and her family. Thank you.
All right. God bless you now. And take care of yourself. All right.
Thank you.
Let's bring on Dr. Short. Dr. Short, you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney. I thank you. God bless you. You are the reason for Thanksgiving. And so are all the other people, whether they're TIs, whether it's our sister Lynn Stewart, whether it's all the other people that are standing together against this monstrous machine that would destroy us all. I just want to thank you for having Attorney Sweet in. And I want to say to folks that this has been in motion a long time. They're not just castrating babies and shooting and killing and tasering. They're stealing the land. You need to have Attorney Sweet come in and tell you how they're stealing all the land from the black folk in Mississippi. They're stealing everything. They're stealing the houses in the cities. They're taking everything that they can. And we've got to push back. 2014 has to be a year of resistance against finance capital, against blacknecks, against experimental Nazis in high places. We've got to push back. You know, Reverend Pinckney, this week, when I was at the Library of Congress doing my Margaret Sanger research, I found out that Adam Clayton Powell Sr. was working with Margaret Sanger. Not Junior, but Senior. Roy Ottley, Dorothy Height. We've been set up by people that we think are on our side who don't care nothing about us. Where is Oprah for baby Ashley? You know, had that been a Jewish child, that would have been all the news. It would have been everywhere. Where are these Negroes in television? Where is that one, the little one that came out and said he's gay in Chicago? The one that's always, I mean, he's taking up attacking black folk 24-7 to try to advance himself. where is he right now to talk about this baby?
Mm.
And I need to remind folks, I don't know if it was said because I had problems getting into the program, but I hope that he left his address and his information so we can send resources, because we've got to make this case the end of all cases, that we're going to stop it, and we're going to stop it now. I don't want to wait until 2016 for us to get a white president and suddenly folk wake the hell up and realize we've got to do something.
You know what? You are absolutely, I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, it's so important that we understand this. Until we understand this, Dr. Short, you know, we're just spinning our wheels.
And Reverend Pinckney, I have a picture of baby Ashley. There's no accident. It looks like a tree stump cut almost down to the bone to this boy. Make me feel like I've never been born again. I'm so angry with what they did to this woman's baby. And I've been down in Tennessee, and I know how they treat people. And I need to tell you, you're in Columbus, Ohio, where my family lives. My granny died in 2010 in Cleveland. She was in Tennessee, and they let her get fecal matter in her womb, and it killed her.
Mm.
Don't tell me about Tennessee and how they treat black folk. And she had good health care and all that other stuff. Survived 21 years of cancer, but couldn't handle the Jim Crow hospitalization down there in Tennessee. I got a bone to pick and a chip on my shoulder big time. I think we've had one since 1619, and I dare anybody to try to knock it off.
And you know one thing, Dr. Short, you and I, you know how we do it. I got a bone now, too, to pick. And I tell you, my blood is boiling every time I think about that, you know. And, when you and I talk, we know how we talk. And I tell you, Dr. Short, my blood is boiling, and I want these people to start sending some money in.
Yes, we need everything. They set her up. They're gonna make it look as if she castrated her son as a crazy, no good black. By the time they got through, she'd be some crazy crackhead welfare mother wanting to get some more money from the state. And in reality, a good, hard-working, good church girl. And they did this to her. Imagine had she listened to the doctor, the baby would have been dead, and folk would want her on death row. And nobody would want to believe some doctor at the Christian Community Health Services would do that. They wouldn't do that. You did that. She would have been blamed. We would have all been ashamed. We wouldn't have looked two times. It would have been another Tawana Brawley-type thing where black folk get told something by white Anglo-Zionist news. We just take it hook, line, and sinker, and yet we don't like being called nigger by the same people because we don't think critically. This woman would be on her way to destruction after having lived a decent life.
Mm.
And this is the second time I've seen something like this. There was a girl down in Walmart. Some lady shoved her. She spoke back. They were trying to put her in jail for 10 years for just speaking up for herself in a Walmart. Down in Missouri, just across the river, the Mississippi River, they tried to put a girl in jail for 10 years for an argument.
Mm.
And things aren't getting better. That was a castration. And they would have set her up, and now she needs money because they're trying to take a car. They're trying to do everything. Do you realize if the baby gets sick or dies, they'll find somebody to say she was negligent.
Mm.
They'll do everything they can to protect these crooked doctors, these racists. And they experiment on people. They're still doing it. Reverend Tracy, I got a document this week. Do you know how much money they paid the doctor who was head of the Tuskegee experiment and who ran the hospital at Tuskegee, how much he was willing to be paid to destroy the other people down there?
Wow. How much?
$1. $1. By the way, this is Vernon Jordan's father-in-law, y'all. You wonder why you don't hear people standing up. We have a very vulgar, filthy, despicable morality trait in the African-American community that if it's my friends that do it, I don't stand up. If they have a certain level of income or wealth, I will not call. I will not denounce them because they're my friends, they're my family, they're my frat, they're my lodge. So what happens if they get a deal to kill all the rest of us? Are you going to be silent? does it matter if a person with a six-figure or seven-figure income participates in your genocide, or do you only care if it's a person with some weed in their back pocket with gold teeth grill? We're hypocritical and classist. We need to stand up against all injustice in our community, whether it's done by a rich black neck or broke one.
That's right. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And it's amazing how we give these guys a free pass. You know, like
yeah.
I used to tell people, I wouldn't even give my brothers a free pass. And if they was alive today, they would tell you that I would not give them a free pass for any reason. And they know how I do things. And
you shouldn't give them a pass. Reverend Pinkney, you know what makes me so angry? That President Obama, everybody thinks he's so cool because he pardoned these turkeys for Thanksgiving, but he can't pardon Lynn Stewart and Herman Wallace almost die in that jail and all these other people that they could pardon, and they celebrate him pardoning a turkey, and everybody knows those turkeys die within a few months after being let go. Why don't they pardon and let all these people out of jail, like this Indian fake scientist up in Massachusetts that set 40,000 people in jail? We need a whole lot of folks pardoned, and I'm going to thank God for fighters like you and Stuart and Maggie and Ashlyn, but all of us have to fight this year. We got to fight. It needs to be Black 2014. We need an American Spring. Folks need to be out in the streets. Shut this machine down before they cut off doors, you know, before. And God knows, what did they do with the penis? Did they make a soup out of it? Did they sell it to somebody? Nobody's explained, what did they do with the penis? What did they need it for? And the Chinese woman, you know, they make soup out of that stuff. You wonder, what did they need it for? Why didn't they give it back?
Absolutely. And I tell you, it's just amazing. Dr. Short, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever your heart desires. And don't leave me, because I want you to come on at the end and let's talk a little bit more about baby Aspen. And see where we at. Because to me, this is the story. This is the story that we are going to have to spread. This is the story that we are going to be talking about. At least I'm going to be, when I get to New York, I'm going to talk about this. And at New York University, all these places I go to speak about this, I will be talking about it. And it doesn't make a difference what people say or what they do, but we're going to get that word out there. We're going to show the people what we are capable of doing. Because so many times people think that we can't do anything. But if we stick together, we can do anything. Go on, take your 90 seconds, say whatever you want, and then I got to move on. It's my TI time.
Reverend Pinkney?
Yes.
When they were killing those kids in Atlanta, they were finding these kids' bodies with no penises. We really need to link this to what happened in Atlanta, because they had that guy down there who didn't do it. I've talked to Alveda King. She says all over this country they're cutting off penises on children. It happens all the time. It's normal, especially to our boys. We need to, this is a war of eugenics, and if we don't wake up, we're going to be guilty of letting something worse than Nazi Germany befall us.
Absolutely. I tell you, this is just the beginning. I think it's bigger than what we think it is.
Atlanta, they did that to the kids in Atlanta. Nobody talks about them cutting the penises off these missing boys in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And
I think this is covering this up. And, you know, I always thought that they was killing people for body parts. That was one of the things that I was concerned about here in Benton Harbor. I was very concerned because people go in with a cold and die. People go in, and, you know, people don't even die from pneumonia anymore either. They go to this hospital and they die. You check in, you don't check out. And I'm sick of it.
Reverend Pinkney, they're disappearing all over Detroit. They found an Israeli agent who was taking body parts right up. So, you know, the number one place for this stuff is Israel. That's something that nobody wants to talk about. And we have to have a real conversation on the Talmud and Christian Zionism, Reverend Pinkney, because our churches are immobilized by these crooked, pedophile, forgive me, faggoty preachers who take our money and won't stand up for us and then lying to us about the Bible. And when you have a whole country where people have an industry off of human organs being taken and it keeps coming from the same ethnic group or community, we got to ask ourselves why.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Short, I got to move on, but I tell you, you know, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I truly enjoy it. But look, I got to go to my TIs, because my TIs, if I don't go to them, I might have to check my ignition on my car or something. So you know how that works. So we got to make sure that we're right on point. But love you. I'm going to be in touch with you, and we'll talk some more, and we're going to make sure that we get the word out about this baby. I cannot even, think for a moment that, just thinking about that is, and just like you said, it's going on all across the country. But listen, I got to move on. I got to bring in my TIs, and I will talk to you very, very, very soon.
Okay.
All right. Then you get the last word.
Okay, Reverend Pinkney, I'll be waiting.
All right, my brother. All right. That was my good friend, Dr. Short. So those of you out there who know Dr. Short, know what he can do. He's a good man. And we're going to take things to a whole different level, because it's time that we learn to work together, fight together, stand together. We have to. That's why we lose in this battle. Because the people will not fight together. The people will not stand together. The people will not do things together. It's more of us than them. I don't even understand how we could. I mean, it could be a doubt. I don't understand this. We let things happen, and as a part, we got people being targeted by our government. And most people don't believe that this government could be this dirty and rotten. We got a government here that don't care nothing about you. Everybody is expendable. Even your president, they don't care nothing about nothing. They don't care nothing about you, your children, your husband, your wives. They don't care about these things. This government will do anything. They will close you down. They will shoot you. They will assassinate you. They will make you go kill other people. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with this thing. And you people out there thinking that it won't happen, I'm telling you it will happen. It's T.I. time. It's time for my T.I.s. And I want to know if we're going to be in Colorado Springs in February. We're going to have a nice dinner and everything. These are my T.I.s. They can invite people who they want to come, but this is the way it's going to be. But on that note, let me bring in my good friend Ken. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney. How are you doing today?
Excellent. How you doing?
Not too bad. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you quite well. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. This is
okay,
what you...
Okay, because I'm dealing with one of the... You know, I'm not at home. I'm in Columbus, Ohio right now. And I want to make sure that, people can hear me loud and clear. We had a big problem getting on today, but sometimes it be that way.
I'll get back to the baby, because in 1977, Senator John Glenn said, you or your family may go to a hospital and come out and experiment. And if this don't look like an experiment to me, nothing does. And, yes, they would have blamed it all on that lady. She'd have been going to prison. So Randy's 100% right on it. That's where they do TIs right today in this country. And what's wrong with America today? Me as a TI, I can tell you, 80% of Americans are cowards. You know, their neighbors come tell them something about somebody, and they do it. They use frequencies on them. They use everything. So until Americans start standing up, quit being cowards, the TIs, we're going to have more and more and more of them. Just like, and then another thing, I'll get to Dianne Feinstein and Mike Rogers today, and one of them's a Democrat and one of them's a Republican, I believe. They said Americans are more in danger today than they were a year or 2 years ago. So we got to give up some more of our freedoms. We got to get scared, Al Qaeda's going to get us. I'm more worried about our own government, what they're doing to us, than anybody else.
Absolutely. They can't, and look at it like this, too. They talk about this gun thing. This gun thing is really something, because now I get to feel that they're so desperate for everybody to give up their guns that they, if you don't give them up, they're going to come shoot you.
Well, I got a feeling, I had an argument with the guy today. He said, they'll never take all the guns. Oh, don't you bet on that one too much, because they're coming after him. Even Mike Rogers, a Republican, he says he's afraid that the people are going to get so outraged over this spying on Americans that they're going to have to restore the Fourth Amendment. I didn't know it was ever supposed to be gone. as a TI, I know one thing, that we've lost all of our amendments, and everybody sits around, and a lot of them are involved in it, act like they don't know anything about it. Well, keep doing that, because it's going to come back on them too, so.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. That's why it's so important to talk about TIs, target individuals. It is so important that we get this word out, and it's getting out all across the country. Everywhere I go, I talk about target individuals. And there's a way that you do it that to get their attention. And I think
right.
I have mastered that way. I have mastered the way to talk about target individuals, and that people almost have to listen. Because, see, most time you have to validate yourself before you can go into an arena and talk about someone being a target individual by our government. You see, because most of the time
right.
they don't want to believe you no way.
Well, I hope everybody went to American Free Press and read that article about Aaron Alexis. He didn't scratch ELF on his weapon for no reason, like the news said. Oh, he had some cryptic message. Yeah, he sure did. Extremely low frequency. You know, and everybody should go read that article in American Free Press. It's on page 18. I thought it was a very good article. But there's also another article of a 75-year-old guy, and I talked to him down in Austin, and I didn't even know he was a TI, but he says he's 75 years old, and he said American Free Press is the first one ever wrote an article for him, and he says he came out of MKUltra. They took him and shocked him and did all kinds of stuff to hit this guy. But no, I guess the guy's probably lost his mind, you know. So if these Americans don't think it's going to happen, just hang on, because they're going to do it to you too before it's over, and they want to get rid of they want to get rid of 80% of us. It ain't just TIs they want to get rid of.
You are absolutely correct. You are absolutely so, you're right on point, Ken. But we got to keep spreading the word. You know,
exactly.
Even when people don't want to listen, we tell them anyway. And then what we can say this. What they do with that information is no longer on you. It's on them. At least you told them. But you tell them in a way that you're not forcing it down their throat. You tell them in a way, well, this is what's going on. Take it or leave it. That's up to you.
Exactly.
And that's how
well,
we get this.
Look at the police. I seen a video the other day of an off-duty police officer in a bar. And a woman was at the bar, and she's in the military, and she had her friend with her. There's two women. And he was trying to take her out, and she wouldn't go, so he's going to put her under arrest because he's drunk. And he put the handcuffs on her, and he was slamming her down in a chair. And this bar is full of so-called men that did nothing. One guy said, oh, I'm videotaping this because she didn't do anything wrong. I'd have went inside his damn head so fast it made his head swim. But yet they was 30 to 40 men in that bar. They call themselves men that did nothing. And that's why that they keep doing what they're doing, because nobody does nothing.
Nobody.
And I'm a little bit aggravated today, so I'll let somebody else talk.
Well, Ken, I always enjoy talking to you. I tell you, you really get things rolling around here. And one thing they can't say about you, they can't say you nuts. That's for sure. And, you're like John Brown. You know, you're my hero too. So we just stay focused. Don't get sidetracked. Let's do what we need to do. And we're going to bring on my good friend Gloria. Again, take care of yourself, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
And same to you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right. Gloria, are you there? Gloria? Gloria?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Reverend Pinckney, but my heart is heavy about that baby. It's hard. It's hard when you get up and I look at my grandchildren. Sometimes I just stop and I thank the Creator that we didn't have to go through this stuff, you know, but they're still young. I don't know what they might have to face. But as a people, we have to stand up. This business, oh, I don't believe that. Well, then research it. What I'm going to do today, this is part one of a two-part story, and it's about humanism. Now, humanism is something that is, it's going to be like a new crave, a new wave coming through. So I want people to listen, really listen, and I'll tell you where I found the information. EndTimesBibleProphecy.com. That's where you'll find this information, and there's a lot more. So this is part one. As the world draws closer and closer to the day of Christ's return, exponential pace of technology change will play an increasing role in the fulfillment of the Bible prophecy. The development of technologies such as molecular manufacturing, artificial intelligence, quantum computing will trigger abrupt and radical changes in the global economic, social, and geopolitical landscape. The acceleration and magnitude and development of the powerful technologies will dwarf the Industrial Revolution in size and scale. Foreseeing such change, the world should note the various social philosophies and political movements emerge during the revolution, during the Industrial Revolution. Darwinism, Marxism, communism, fascism, and eugenics all emerge within a few short decades. While the Industrial Revolution was not absolutely necessary for, nor was the cause of the rise in popularity for each of these movements, it did serve to amplify their influence. So what small movements might explode in popularity during the next technological revolution? One possible candidate is the transhumanist movement. Thank you for listening, but my heart is very sad this evening.
Well, you know one thing, Gloria, that you know, that is so tremendous that people don't understand, you know, especially if you have children. And, you know, and I think that not just mothers and fathers, I think that, you know, men themselves, you know, just thinking about this, something like that can happen, and you know how sensitive we are in reference to that. And I tell you, everybody that's listening today should make it a point to go out and call 10 people and tell them about what happened and make sure that we take a stand at this point that we're not going to take this crap, all this bad health care that we get. We get bad health care. They had even tried to diagnose me as a diabetic with high blood pressure. Never had high blood pressure or even thought about some kind of diabetes. But you know what I did? I started walking. I started making sure that I get good health care for myself. And that's what I do. But Gloria, we just have to keep praying for this baby. But remember this. You know, you can have all the faith in the world, but faith without work is dead. So we have to get out here and work and do something. And I want to thank you and wish you a happy Thanksgiving yourself. And you just tell the gang all, wish them all a happy Thanksgiving for me. And take care of yourself. And let's keep pushing.
We have to.
Absolutely. Well, you stay strong.
Because what I'm going to bring next week I want people to keep this name in their head, that word, transhumanism. Just keep that in your head, and you'll see what this is all about.
Well,
and then you might be able to understand then why, because this was some type of ritual, why they cut baby Ashton's penis off.
Okay. Okay.
It all comes together, Reverend Pinkney.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to be looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and listen, let's get ourselves together and talk about it.
Yes.
All right, then. I'm looking forward to it. I will talk to you next week. Send me some information on that if you can.
I sure will.
All right, then. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Peace. Free the land.
Hello.
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 Dorothy?
Yes, what happened?
I don't know.
Huh. We got cut off from the Reverend Pinkney show.
Yeah, I guess we have to call back in.
Especially since he was about ready to ask me to talk.
Okay, well then call back in.
Okay.
Oh, well you're in, but call back. Bye.
Hello?
Roz, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, all right. Seem to be having a little difficulty at this time, and I'm in a new town, new city, doing it by remote and trying to make sure we get this thing done. But listen, I know you got a story to tell, and let me wish you a happy Thanksgiving, first of all.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners, and may they really think about the things that they're thankful for as we fight together for all these terrible things that are happening to all of us, because we're not going to win unless we speak up together.
Absolutely. And we have to do this thing together.
Together. The doctor for this baby, I mean, I'm sick when I hear this story, should lose their license immediately. Anybody, you go to the hospital, they tell you not to look at something, look at it. They tell you not to read your medical reports, like in workers' comp or with doctors. You need to be on top of everything. So you know it's wrong. And besides, you have to take care of yourself and keep yourself healthy.
Absolutely.
To exercise, to try to eat better. Because we're not going to make it what's going on in this country. You're definitely right. Everybody's right. They're trying to kill us off. That is the bottom line. They're trying to kill us off, whether we're black, whether we're white, whether we're brown, whether we're pink or orange or green. They're trying to kill all of us. I have never seen anything like this in my life. The schools are terrible. They're trying to dummy down our children. We don't have a future anymore with this Common Core. I hear at Kaiser here in probably a middle-class neighborhood. They've got more lawyers than doctors. People do die in surgeries all the time. I hear these horrific stories. Look at my workers' comp case. They couldn't give us the proper medical. They couldn't give us the proper doctors. They couldn't pay us right. Charles Smith is dead. A wonderful human being is dead. They had $105 million that this Dawn Watkins at LAUSD found, that she could have been paying people right instead of playing with the check numbers and not giving us the proper medical or the care we need by law that we're entitled to. We need to be on top of everything, united with each one of us.
And you know what? You are absolutely correct. I tell you, just thinking about being a teacher and you don't have the support of the union or anything to protect you, it's so outrageous that nobody would ever think about it. But it's like this all over the country. The only place where the union stands up for you is in the city of Chicago.
That's wonderful, because here they're all in bed. They're all in bed together with everybody. Can you imagine when Charles and I were sprayed? Here were two different colors, okay? So you get the same story across the line. They couldn't call the paramedics. They couldn't call hazmat to clean up our room from the toxic chemicals. As our students and I was, both of us were in it. They couldn't pay us right. They couldn't call the doctors. Where was the union? Where is the union today?
Mm.
What are they doing?
Absolutely.
Are we on Reverend Pinckney?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for everybody that turns in, because as we're going through this, we now know whatever they tell you in a hospital, we have to check it out ourselves.
Absolutely.
We have to make sure it's okay before we go see a doctor. And if you don't know, ask your friends.
And
look,
you
on
know
the
what?
Internet. Go to the library so you're informed.
I understand. You know, one of the things that, even one of my very, very best friends is a doctor, but I have to quiz him too, because I know that they're in this, a lot of people don't understand that. There's a lot of doctors in it just for the money.
Dr. John Stahlberg, who made $16,770 to write a bogus medical report, and I mean my benefits, knowing full well that my health would deteriorate, my house is in foreclosure, I can't pay my bills, and I'd lose everything. You mean Dr. John Stahlberg, like him?
Just like him. And that's what I'm talking about. That is why we're on this show today, to get the word out. We got to expose these people. We got to expose them for what they are. Here you are, a veteran. And a
right.
How many years were you teaching?
Oh, I was teaching at Los Angeles Unified School District.
How long were you a teacher?
10 years, but I had like 16 altogether, because I worked every summer. My total number of days, I worked more every year. And they ended up, the judge said the worst things about me, that I was the worst teacher, that nobody ever would ask for me or even wanted me. My witnesses were against me. It just got so bizarre that I had two cars. You couldn't even get the name of the school right where I was. He said I was in elementary school, then a middle school teacher, or like he had Alzheimer's or some problem there with a little money and a payoff or a deal going on. Judge Gerald Cohn, who recently had a stroke himself.
Interesting.
Just disgusting. And now I got a paper from Workers' Comp Sedgwick, which is supposed to be the worst, and they're always killing off somebody, which is true, because they deny them their benefits.
Absolutely.
And they told me my doctor that I've had since July of 2001, he's not on their MPN list. So now I have to find a new doctor. And I left a message and I said, how could I find a new doctor, because you've given me this bogus medical report. The doctor admits there's no evidence for it. Dr. Stahlberg does. So for me to ask for a doctor would be illegal to be treated for a bogus medical condition.
Wow. And Roz, what it goes to show, regardless what profession you're in, it's under attack. Who would believe that a teacher, someone who educates our children, would be under such attack? Not just in California, though. It's all over the country once again. Everything is spreading like wildfire. And the bad part about it, here's what some of the things, the teachers never stood up and fought before. I have never known a teacher to take a stand. You're one of the few. But also in the city of Chicago, they're taking a stand. And the reason why I keep emphasizing Chicago, I was there with them. I know what they can do. I know what they're doing. And it's so amazing, Rod. I was there in L.A. too with Fletcher, the union president. Matter of fact, I had a meeting with him when I was there.
But he's not doing anything. His whole board
he's not going to do anything because he was put in there by the school.
Right.
He's not one of us. When I went to the school board meeting and scared the board that we was going to recall him, you know, he wasn't for that. He didn't want to march. He didn't want to do nothing. He didn't want to do anything to protect the teachers. That was the last thing on his mind.
Right. Teachers are very passive individuals. Very passive. And then they will go.
I tell you one thing, if they don't start fighting, you won't have a public school system.
Right. And let me tell you, they've already killed you. And being a teacher, whatever terrible thing you're going through, whatever terrible job, whatever terrible thing, they've already done it to you. So you have to stand up and overcome it.
Absolutely.
It is
well, listen,
so
Roz,
important.
Let me say this to you. I know how difficult it is. What does it take to get these teachers moving?
I my ads in the UTLA newspaper now. I'm looking for every teacher's story. There is a pattern of abuse and violence and death at LAUSD. There is no voter I know that voted that it was okay to purposely kill off injured teachers. Why is LAUSD allowed to not clean up the school and leave these areas that are so hazardous with toxic chemicals? Why aren't the fire extinguishers covered out of the children, students' reach and away from them so no teacher is sprayed? They spray all the time, or they did when I was there for years before and years afterwards. Why aren't the students who do these terrible things reported to the police and taken to juvenile court? And we have passed this point so far that we have to just get them. And I keep emailing. I have my ad running now for 3 months. I have Justice Now for injured workers. And I need to hear from people. Rozzie Wow, R-O-Z-Y, at AOL.com. R-O-Z-Y-W-W at AOL.com. Not charging anybody for anything. I feel this is from the Lord. I work for the Lord. This is a blessing. I'm with Reverend Pinckney. It's a blessing to stand up. It's a blessing to help other people. But this is a crime. There's such disrespect for human life in the schools, with the teachers, in every facet of our world, and to everybody. From little Ashton, what they've done to his mother, I thank the lawyer for standing up for them, for Dr. Short, for everybody else, for you, Reverend Pinckney, for having this story on all through parts of our life. But when we start to get depressed or we know we're not going to make it, I want you all to think of the blessing and that you're thankful for that God brought you to hear the show, to know that we're all together. I want you to dwell in your mind on the things that you're thankful for, and I want you to get up together and fight together, educate together, educate our children, educate ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, they have destroyed our health care system in this country, and we're all going to have to be our own doctors and take the best care of ourselves to make it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Right, my faith is in the Lord.
Hey, believe me, I understand. Well, listen, I got to move on. I got to bring on my good friend Dorothy, and you just hold tight, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, and I'm going to keep fighting on because I work for God, and it's so fantastic. And I want to say for all the football fans out there, and I know you're from Michigan, it was great. Go Buckeyes. We need to win next week, and we need to go to the national championship. And
well,
thank you, Lord, that I'll...
Well, here's some good news for you. You're now number two. You're no longer number three. So that should be... And my grandson, he's a Buckeye. He was born in Columbus, Ohio, and he was cheering for the Buckeyes against all the Wolverines, you know. But unfortunately, he got bragging rights. He got it. But listen, I got to move on. I got to let you go. I got to bring on my good friend, Dorothy, and I will talk to you soon, and I want to wish you a happy, happy Thanksgiving week. and you take care of yourself, and I will be hearing from you soon.
Okay, love you all.
Love
thank
you too, and
you.
Take care of yourself.
Okay, you too.
All right, now it's my good friend, my girl, from the wonderful state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Yes.
How you doing?
Doing great. How you doing, Dorothy?
I'm hanging in there.
How you feeling? You feel like a true Buckeye now?
Why? No.
No, because they beat Michigan.
I don't like Ohio State. Nothing personal. But you know something? Let's talk about that for just a second as I transition into other stuff. Hitler actually said that he could take over nations if he could get people involved in the stuff that, as he meant, didn't matter, like sport and music, without a shot. And so the interesting thing is that while we spend millions, if not billions of dollars on sports and activities and things like that and on record-setting contracts for athletes, isn't it amazing how people who speak the truth, who are witnesses to crimes against themselves and other good and decent people, who could make a difference positively in this country, putting our country back into the super country it could be as far as developing industrial ideas and new inventions and stuff. Instead, they're thrown on the pile of inhumanity. And so the thought here is, and again, let's also talk about that young man, the baby who was
castrated.
Well, and please know, while I recognize that term, internationally it's known as genital mutilation. So we need to talk about what is it that our government leadership...
Wow, that's a better word for it.
That's right, genital mutilation. That when we have children that can be genitally mutilated, and especially since I have a law enforcement degree, when penises are taken by predators of children who are then killed, that's people who are collecting trophies. Those are serial killers, serial abusers, and those are trophy collectors. And they can be both women, sadly, and men or children that have been brutalized because they have been so traumatized. So there's potentials in all those things of what's going on in this country. And for myself, sadly, I had spoken the last time, given kind of an overview, that, remember, it was Ike, President Eisenhower, who was a general, who said, be weary of the military-industrial complex, because he already knew what it had launched into, and President John Kennedy would state in an eloquent speech, he was warning people of secret, those organizations that were working in secret to subvert our country. And between that, as well as saying publicly that he would not be a Catholic, he would not bring his Catholic religion and that of the weight of the Pope into the presidency. And it wasn't long after that that he was murdered. Now, it's interesting because let's move it up quite a few years. In 2013, at the Catholic prayer breakfast, there was a guy who spoke and he said that President Bush, after President Bush II, would give immunity to Pope Benedict, the former pope, who would step down after 38 years when he was a cardinal under Pope John Paul II. And for 38 years, he did nothing. As Catholic children, hundreds of thousands of U.S. Catholic children were allowed to be raped and tortured and brutalized in this country, as that cardinal did nothing, as he oversaw the progression of those children that were raped and abused to be used throughout our government at a local, city, state, federal, and international level. And this was virtually pedophilia into sexual slavery. And it had multiple acts to it. This is under the Himmler-Hitler-Eichmann study. But the prayer breakfast, the guy would actually say that President Bush was most likely going to be the best Catholic president ever, because President Bush would convert to Catholicism after he let off an international criminal that was allowed to terrorize and brutalize Catholic children. Again, pedophilia into sexual slavery through organized criminal trauma networks. And they could go into various things such as local, city, state, conference, sporting events as sexual slaves, into our military as sexual slaves, and into international abuse to include pornography, pornographic films, because in 1972, Linda Lovelace, also in the movie Deep Throat, it was a crime scene on film. And that movie, that crime scene on film, would go to the Supreme Court, in which the Supreme Court justices would watch that film or watch that crime scene on film and said it was not pornography, and that was the benchmark to use human beings as sexual slaves, in which they would put them under drugs, they would rape and brutalize them, they would torture them, and they would use them and try then later to kill them. And it was an industry, and it's still an industry, because sadly, despite the fact that I have two master's degrees, that I am an ordained minister, that I was an Air Force captain and commander, that I was actually put in this by an ex-oldest brother, by an ex-aunt and uncle who were all Catholics, and that participated in this, because what they do in these systems is they give those who sell their children into this positions of power, promotions, and other things to do this to their own family members. And I witnessed this and I went through it, and even with a law enforcement degree, when I dare to speak out, as well as many of my other peers who dared to speak out, we were told that as witnesses to our own crimes that we were lying, and that's under the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, which denies victims of crimes, victims of KKK, victims of rape, and other inhumane brutalities. And why did they do this? Because I grew up in an all-white community in which my mother voted for President Kennedy, and to destroy good and decent people in America. There's an old metaphor, and the metaphor goes, when good people do nothing, evil flourishes. Well, evil is way ahead, because what are they doing? They're destroying good, decent people. And under mind control and brutalization, they are trying to take good and decent people who would not steal for somebody, who would not harm anybody else, and they try to destroy their lives by systematically raping, brutalizing them, torturing them, abusing them, and over many years, attempts to make them so angry that they would come out and hurt somebody else. That's my story, too. And we do need to stand up against this corruption, because it's amazing that in the 70s and the 80s, how the FBI and the federal government went out after the mafia, and they said they cleaned it up, and they literally had all these guys collapsing these systems because they got them to talk. They were speaking their truth about murder, about brutalization. Now, what were the mafia involved in? They were involved in prostitution, which is typically against the victim's will. So that is human sexual slavery by other terms. They were involved in drugs. They were involved in gun running. And yet today, if we have anybody who dares to try to stand up and say, I'm sorry, but this happened to me, these people are demonized, brutalized, and they're saying they're insane. They try to set them up for crimes, because depending on the level at which these people were brutalized and who were the rapists and abusers, they're trying to say it didn't happen. Please know, I was a varsity sports person. I was a senior class president in my class. I wanted to go to law school. I wanted to be a U.S. senator. I wanted to run someday for president. I'm not interested in hurting anybody, and yet I've been systematically brutalized and told that what I witnessed, I'm lying. And yet I worked for FEMA. And I was in, as part of FEMA's team, Homeland Security, there on the ground in Jackson, Mississippi, helping to make sure that people who were traumatized got the very best. And yet what I saw, sadly, was a lot of corruption, a lot of abuse. There were a lot of great people on the ground doing their job. But there was a whole lot of corruption that nobody was looking in after. Any questions there, Robert?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing how we allow the Army, the Navy, the Air Force to sexually attack these women, and nobody's talking about it until today.
Oh, wait a minute. Women, men, children. And let me ask your audience, listening audience, please get on the phone and call Senator Gildebrand and Senator Congresswoman Speer, call your senators and congressmen and say, the military does not deserve, they do not deserve to oversee the prosecution of these cases. We need honorable, truth-speaking victim advocates that know what's going on. Because the bottom line is, when I was in, legal officers were involved in this. Commanders from every level, security police, those who you were supposed to trust were involved in it, and even people above that rank. They've been compromised.
Dorothy, one of the things I have found out now that, you know, it seemed to be that I know they kind of like select the people who they're going to prosecute. Right now they're prosecuting people for those sexual crimes that they commit, maybe 1 out of 10, maybe 1 out of 50, but whatever it is, at least now I see them prosecuting these guys.
Those are only scapegoats, Reverend
Pete. Yeah, people they're trying to get rid of.
That's only to appease the public who doesn't want to pay attention. And please know, I know there were good men and women in the military because I worked with a bunch of them. But the problem is when I went to those good men and women for letters of support who witnessed that I was being, as a commander, now I had law enforcement background, and I had the legal responsibility to the parents, to your parents, to make sure that your children were always dealt with fairly and equitably, not through racism, yet I watched unbelievable racism. I watched unbelievable sexism. And when I kept reporting the rapes and the abuse of women, children, you name it, nobody did a thing. And I went all the way up to the top. Even to the leadership of this country, there are 7 laws of immunity. 7 laws of immunity for our military when it comes down to the rape and the brutalization of our military members by their leadership. One includes the National Security Act. I'm sorry, but there is no one who had a right to put their hands on me. That wasn't part of the job. And I was married, but even if I wasn't, no one had the right to put their hands. And there were organized criminal trauma networks because they just didn't videotape us. They used those videotapes and they sold them in Europe. They sold them. So they're making lots of money off of a bunch of us. And there's stuff that there is no way I would ever have participated in, but because they had the technology, the drugs, and the torture means to do these things to many good military men, women, children, you name it, I saw it, and many of my peers were forced to marry their perpetrators, their handlers. These are people that were their abusers, and they were handled by these people. They were forced to marry their perpetrators because that way they could keep them in line. They were arranged marriages because these criminals bragged to me about it. And I've had my life totally ruined for what? This isn't America. This isn't the nation I grew up believing in. And it's sad because I grew up standing up to the flag and doing the national anthem and doing all that. I taught schools where I got to witness how principals were brutalizing children, calling them that they were no good, and yet these were amazingly brilliant children. We have great resources, But when we have anybody that is throwing away any human being in this culture, in our country, we need to begin looking at the people that we have entrusted, because we have entrusted the wrong people. When any superintendent or anybody can walk away with $23 million, or a CEO like at Chrysler could get $27 million for one quarter, and then years later the American public has to bail out that company, then it is a shakedown, folks. It's shakedown time, and it's your taxpayer dollars they're stealing from.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever your heart desires. And, hey, I really appreciate that information.
What I would like to say is, please, I know your time is valuable, but so is the good men and women who have stepped up to do, and it's only 1% of our nation has stepped up for our military. Be the bigger person. Call in and demand of your Congress to not put in the hands of criminal abuse that is going on for over 60 years. Over 60 years this stuff has been going on. Please tell them it is time to hear from the people who have lived the truth. My name is Dorothy Mackey, and I'm willing to speak the truth. Back me, and I'll back your kids who are in the military, because they have a right to safety, protection, and even good treatment in the VA, which the Veterans Administration, in what I've seen in 20 years, did nothing but break me down and cause me more pain and duress. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening.
All right, and thank you so much, and I want to wish you a happy, happy Thanksgiving week now, because it's almost over now. It's time for people to go back. But I just want to thank you, Dorothy, so much. You are just one tremendous person, and I want you to know that here at on the Pinkney Show, that we love you very much and keep up the great work. And on that note, I'd like to tell everybody, December the 4th, I will be at the Brooklyn Christian Center, 1061 Atlantic Avenue. That's at 7 p.m. That's in Brooklyn, New York. That's at the Brooklyn Christian Center, 1061 Atlantic Avenue. I will be there, and it will kick off at 7 p.m. Also, in the city of Benton Harbor, we are doing a recall of the mayor here. So those of you who are out there who would like to participate, do not be ashamed and do not be afraid, because we can win this battle together. But we have to learn to fight together. We cannot win this battle trying to be the Lone Ranger. We have to work together and do this thing the way it should be done, and it can be done. But we remember this, we all must work together. There's so much that we can do out here. Baby Aspen is definitely one that's on our mind. And if anybody got a heart, you must have sympathy for this baby and this family. Because I tell you, it's just, wow. It has really attacked me mentally. And also has really pierced my heart. So those of you out there who are willing to help baby Ashton, you have the information, please send her a few dollars. You can do it. I mean, sometimes we don't do anything because we don't want to do something. Send baby Ashton a few dollars. On that note, I'm going to bring in Dr. Short. Dr. Short, you're here to close it out. Let's give it to me. Dr. Short, are you available? Dr. Short,
yeah,
are you available?
Yeah, you had
absolutely
me muted. Yes, Reverend Pinkney, on Facebook we have a page. It's We Demand Justice for Ashton Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
We Demand Justice for Ashton Rhodes. It's on Facebook. It's a page. Join it. We have 700-plus people on here. And I have a petition that I've issued demanding justice for Ashton Rhodes. And it's on the CARE2 petition site. We demand justice for Ashton Rhodes' CARE2 site. We need people to sign it, because we take tasks to everybody, to the governor, to Congressman Cohen. And if you go to the page, we've got numbers. And I want to ask everybody, you know what? We need to call the White House. We need to call Michelle, because this is a woman's issue. Michelle isn't standing up. We've given her a pass for 5 years. What the hell use is she as a symbol if she can sit back and watch the mutilation of black women and black mothers' children and white women's children? What kind of mother is she to turn her back on that? And I want to encourage everybody to call Congressman Ira Stephen Cohen. Call the Capitol operator, 202-225-3121, and demand justice for Maggie Rhodes, 202-225-3121. Call and ask for Congressman Ira Stephen Cohen. Call them up and tell them this is BS. They should have justice. This shouldn't even drag. It's an election year. We need to let him know that we're going to fight against him. We're going to get him removed from his seat if he doesn't help Maggie and her son.
Hey, absolutely. You are absolutely correct. You are right on point. And we're going to start doing a little bit more. We're going to start protecting each other a little bit more and reaching out to those who need our help. I see that's one of the biggest problems that we face today. We don't reach out to each other like we should. And I tell you, those of you who live in New York, I will be at the Brooklyn Christian Center, 1061 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, in Brooklyn, 7 p.m. And those of you who are around the state, we are going to have a great time. We're going to start doing more. We're going to start showing people what we're capable of doing. And we need the numbers. That's what we need. And everybody can take part in something. And my T.I. family, I know y'all don't like to participate in things other than that's T.I. business. And that's one of the problems I have learned that we have to work on. But let's take this thing to a whole different level. Let's show the world what we're capable of doing. There's over 1 million T.I.s out there. Over. I didn't say 1 million. It's over 1 million. And those of you out there, we're going to find you. And we're going to make sure that everybody works together to fight this monster that we fight. On that note, I'm going to have to say goodnight. I will see you next week, same time, same station. God bless you all, and we'll talk to you soon. Good night, all.